It's Sunday morning, August 8th.
Lord, we ask for your blessings on our time today, O Lord, that your very way would be the way that the service goes today, Lord. Lord, that we would do more than read your word, carry your word under our arms, tell everybody we love your word. Oh, that we would do more than that. Lord, that we would become your word. Lord, that is a work of the Spirit. We can't do it. But, Lord, if there is a part that we can play in becoming your word, you show us that so we can cooperate that with that. But Lord, that we would become your word. Lord, become your word. Cause that good work to be done. It's not going to get all done today. But Lord, if there is something that can be done to move that along today, Lord, that you might do that. And that it would not be a ball that we would drop. That we would just continue to the process of becoming your word. To Lord. Amen.
There's a scripture that says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Does anybody know what that is?
You found it here.
I looked it up.
2 Corinthians.
But I'll look it up again.
I want to know who said it.
I think it was Paul.
No, 2 Corinthians. I think.
Trusting your memory? Oh, the spirit is moving away.
Even a blind squirrel gets a nut now and then.
Is that what it said?
I haven't proved it, but I'm going with Brother Charlie. Corinthians 3:6, I believe.
Three what?
6.
Okay. I've looked at that and thought, the spirit of the word. But I don't think that's what it means. It's like the letter kills, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit gives life. And there's a scripture in Ephesians 6:17 that says, The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And in that case, as it says in Hebrews, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the thing that we got to realize is that not only is the Word the sword of the Holy Spirit, it's also a dull sword of the unholy spirit. And he uses it. As a matter of fact, he uses it. When he was tempting Jesus, he said, "You're the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread." Or no, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And, I mean, he knew that he could do that. And, But anyway, he used the scriptures to work against Christ. That when we have this scripture setting up here, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know what? We have never found any scripture anywhere that disagreed with that. Mm-hmm. And yet I know some people disagree with it. As a matter of fact, I know some people that feel that that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And there's no scripture anywhere that supports that. And the better way of putting it is that he was full of God.
Amen.
And he was. And it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And he tells us in John the 14th chapter, he said, it is the Father that's in me that's doing this work, saying these things and is doing these miracles. And in another place he says that the Son by Son of himself can do nothing. I mean, those are actual statements that he made. We had a good visitation of the Spirit. Probably Nate did me. That was really good. It's coming. It's coming. And I won't say much more about it or anything more about it, but you can just feel things like we used to feel. And it's coming. It's coming, Charlie. It was good.
You know, I was looking there at that verse in 2 Corinthians. You're starting in verse 5 of the third chapter. Our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And you know, there are, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life, there are able ministers of the letter. They are out there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
There is danger there, being able ministers of the letter. There's a danger there. And I think we were, in large part, able ministers of the letter here for, we're entering into a place where we're able, perhaps becoming able ministers of the Spirit, but,
I have been. Yeah. I have taught Sunday school in, I don't know how many different school or churches I've been in, for the better part of 50 years. And so, but I'm familiar with a lot of these things. And a lot of that was not necessarily of the Spirit. But the Word of God still does a work in you, even if you're not in the Spirit,
Yeah, the word does say that the Old Testament was a schoolmaster. Maybe there's something of that going
on.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think this kind of falls into place a little bit. I came across this in Mark 7. It's a quote from Isaiah. The people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me. Now, here's kind of where we are today. Teaching as doctrines the commandment of men.
Yeah.
See, there are doctrines that are of God, but
man has just slowly made a lot of their own commandments become doctrines. And so they're not true doctrines. You know, they're false. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. You know, so, I mean, that's pretty apparent nowadays, and it's going along with what we're saying. It's, you know, they're going by the letter and not by the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess, so if man wants to make something become a doctrine, he can, but it's in God's eyes, it's not. You know, if it doesn't follow along with the word of God.
Yeah. I forget if I've said this here. If I have, bear with me. But there was a famous medieval theologianist, Thomas Aquinas, and he wrote a really big book about theology. You know, big book. He had a real experience with God, and he just stopped writing. No more writing after that. He just stopped. just stopped.
Well, I used to study the commentaries, and I think I still have a couple of them, I'm not sure. And anyway, a commentary is exactly what it says it is. It doesn't really mean anything, and I'd be working on a message, and I would find that position or some scriptures in the commentary and see what they had to say, and kind of go from there. And now after a while, I realized, you know what, that's just his idea. it's better than mine.
His comments, not God's.
Yeah.
Didn't you say also that another commentary would say something different than the other one? And
oh, yeah.
And then you don't know who you're supposed to be.
I had Jamie Fawcett and Brown was one of them, and Matthew Henry's. Mm. I think so. I had about three or four different sets. And I could find just about anything I wanted. And that's kind of what you end up doing. You finally end up what you want. That's what you write and use.
My experience with those commentaries is there's a whole bunch of pious holy talk that doesn't have real going on. You know? And heaven forbid that we should just be a bunch of holy talk, you know, pious holy talk.
But there was a time, Charlie, when that sounded good to me. I look at it and I think, not really, was it? But it did.
Yeah,
that sounds good. It don't sound too good no more.
Mm. You have to ask yourself if the theologian that you're, you know, checking, or cross-checking, or fact-checking, if he's just really been to a lot of schools, or if he's spirit-led.
Right.
I mean, I'm interested in a spirit-led individual. I'm not interested in someone who's been to a lot of, had a lot of schooling.
was something that Ken brought the other night was good. Let me repeat it. I'll see if I get it right here. I don't. But he said, you know, in the day that we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are going to be in full agreement. It will be just one truth, not a variety of truths. It will be one truth. We'll all be saying the same thing, you know, because there is one Spirit. And if we are being led by that one Spirit, we're going to be, it will be interchangeable in some kind of way that is good, you know. We won't be mechanical parts coming off an assembly line, but we will be working together in perfect harmony, in one, as one Spirit. And, I mean, how do you argue? First of all, you know, yes. But if we can really grab a hold of that, hey, one, just one.
Well, Jesus said, when he talked to Pilate, at this almost the end of his life, but he said, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. Does that make truth vital?
Yeah, it was like the Spirit just enlightened the fact that if you're taught by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, then that's the only truth there is. And it means that if you all have that truth, you will all be speaking the same thing.
Yeah.
And when you have to stop, really think, keep dwelling on that, because then you start looking at one or another a little different. It's like I'm looking at, are you going to be the one that we're all going to have truth, you know?
Yeah.
And it's got to be that way. I mean, you can't have untruth mixed with truth and be, you know, becoming pure, holy, or whatever. You know, I mean, if it's the truth, then that's the only truth, and that's what everyone should get the same of. And why wouldn't he? The Holy Spirit's not saying, well, I only want you to have the truth and you not. If you want it, he will give it to you all, but it'll all be the same truth. You'll all understand the truth, the same truth, you know. And it's like Charlie says, yeah, you got to just kind of think on that a little and let it kind of grow in there. So, you know, so it's going to come down to, I think, where you're probably going to start saying, well, I'm sorry, but I don't believe that you're coming with the truth. Now, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe God won't do that, but he might. I mean, because that's the only way some people, maybe you're going to get woke up, you know.
Yeah.
And we had to get woke up big time, you know. And I think that would soften hearts a little. If they grasp that, they would go, well, then I better start trying to be open to the truth instead of just standing on something that I think is right, that I believe, you know. And that's where, you know, a lot of us in the very beginning, we said, yeah, I don't want to act like I know anything. I want to know what God wants me to know and what is his truth, you know, and him teach me. So you kind of start it over, and if you can get to that place of humility, God can use you, you know?
Yeah, that the scripture in John 17:17, it says, sanctify them or separate them unto yourself. Through your truth, your word is truth. So what God said, or what God meant by what he said, is truth. And so we need to know what he meant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's going to separate you.
Yeah.
And some of it won't be pleasant. Because it might be ones that are close to you or whatever that just are not going to accept it.
So the question is, who's going to give you the truth?
the Holy Spirit.
Except sometimes you hear the Holy Truth from somebody else. So we need to be open.
Yeah.
In group and body mastery, that the Holy Spirit's not coming through just one person.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to hear the truth, inspired by the Spirit, and we have to test it against the Word to make sure that it is the Holy Spirit and not some truth of some man.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Yeah.
You know, Paul talks about the body, and he says the ear has a different function than the nose, and the, you know, the eyes do different things than the hand, and so forth. But there's still one Spirit. And so there will be, I suppose, different aspects of the truth being brought, depending on if you're the eye or the ear or the nose or the whatever, you know. We won't be assembly line truth, as I say, but I think still it will be one. Even though noses do different things than ears, it will still be one. You know?
Yeah, because it says, but it is one body.
One body.
Many members.
Uh-huh, that's right.
But uh-huh. That body should function altogether under the Holy Spirit. Says there are uncomely parts and lowly parts, but some of the greater, probably some of this main truth can come out of those parts, you know.
Yeah,
so you don't want to.
Yeah, we must not forget that.
Yeah.
Goes along with things bad right now. Praise God. Because something good could happen out of that. Because now you're clay. You're moldable and you're open versus standing on a mountaintop and thinking you've got it. Hard to reach it.
I don't know why this morning for a little bit I just, the thought came to my mind about the fires and everything out west and the drought. And I'm going, how? Of course, I mean, you know God's in control, but how? So, because how can a border of the United States be sitting on the hugest body of water and there's a drought? You know, it's like something's going on that's not allowing that water that goes up off of there to get over here, you know? And I suppose they say it's the different currents keep it from happening. Like look at what we just got here. Mm-hmm. What, 5-6 inches of rain in a day and a half? You know, I'm sure they would have loved to have some of that rain, except that now it would cause mudslides and everything else because there's nothing to hold it.
Is everything that is in the shaking is
you'd like to think that we wouldn't need everything to be shaken before we got a clue, but it seems like a lot's being shaken, right?
Well, what made me think it was so funny was the when it froze in Texas. And like a lot of pipes and even deaths that were from all that.
Well, it's been a major flooding going all over the world. China, I mean,
like when they have so many acres one year and so many more the next year and then so many more the next year. Yes, like we have.
You know, you think about a top, just spin a top, and it goes through, you know, just, and then it loses it. Then it develops a kind of a wobble. I think the world is in kind of a wobble right now.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the pandemic all over the world, not just new and spot. And it doesn't seem to be getting better.
And still, people are not turning to God.
Well, they might when they don't have anything to drink, and they don't have anything.
More shaken.
They'll either turn or they'll curse them.
Yeah.
So I was thinking they're going to blame him for it.
Yeah.
And that's always worked out well.
Yeah.
It's always been a real winning move. Yeah, to go back to what we were talking about a moment ago, you kind of want to take the stance when someone brings you quote unquote truth, and you kind of go, well, where'd you get that? That's interesting. Where'd you get that? Where is that in the Bible? You know, and if you get, well, no, I heard that from so-and-so, you kind of go, oh, well, I'm not going to just accept that. I need to see it in his word. And it'll be possible that you won't see it in the word because without the Holy Spirit, you don't see a lot of what's in the word. Hopefully we're past the days of so-and-so said, this is truth. And we're to the spot where God said, this is truth. And he said it right here in his word.
He said, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Let the teacher let you know.
I mean, you know, just not to be too difficult, but if someone really starts just giving you a hard time, you go, well, I'm stuck on 1 Timothy 2:5. And what you're telling me, how does it line up with that? And if it's not lining up with it, explain to me why you want to hang on to this.
I remember we had I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, quite a while back, we had some minister from out of state come here and minister. I don't know how he was got in here, but he did somehow or other. And he had some books, or you know, little books, whatever he was selling or giving away or doing whatever he was doing, I don't know. I was not super impressed by, oh, yes, this is so true. I didn't get that feeling off it. But there was, what the man did do was every two sentences or so, he put in a scripture reference. You know, just throw in scripture reference. I don't know that the scripture reference proved at all what it was that he had just said, you know, or had even much of a connection. He just threw in a scripture reference. But I remember there being someone who said, you know, I read that book, and, you know, I wonder, but no, it was backed up by the scripture, you know. Because of the, and there's proof was the seeing these scripture references throughout the book, you know. We run a risk that stuff is going to happen. You just throw in a whole bunch of scripture references and say, the word, the word of, you know, this is supported by the word of God. And, whatever.
Trying to follow that conclusion. I'll just say, I think along with what you said, is I, and Ken has mentioned it too, we need to be wary of the angel of light.
Sure.
I think that's where you're going.
Actually, that was a kind of a bum angel of light as far as I was concerned. But anyway, you know, I would hope the angel of light be a little more convincing than what this guy was doing. But maybe not.
Well, I have been impressed over time with when the Holy Spirit has moved and truth has been given, how obvious it was and how I literally had to repent for how did I get swallowed up into this?
Yeah.
It never ceases to amaze me that when the Lord has been gracious and given us some light, and I look back at me and my imperfections, and I go, I unfortunately think I'm a reasonable person, and I should have been able to see this, and I go, which has led me to believe that it is easy to be fooled without the Holy Spirit.
I think the Holy Spirit does two things. I think he hides what ought to be obvious until the time that he reveals it. And it becomes obvious. But how did we ever not see that before? You know, it seems so clear on his face. I think the Holy Spirit was just hiding it until the time, Until the time.
Well, that'll make me feel a little bit better, but it's probably true.
That's very true.
I guess it seems to me that it's also important that if you do have a question, that you feel comfortable to go to a brother or sister in the Lord and ask them. Obviously it's best to back it up with the Bible if you can, rather than, well, I really think that God meant this. I think you shouldn't be afraid to ask and talk it out. That's important to feel free not to just sit and go, I wonder, I'm going to just sit here and wait until God reveals it to me. You could be sitting there, dust is going to form around you. I tell you, being in different groups and stuff, I used to be inundated with, have you heard what so-and-so said? Did you listen to that tape? Do you know what they said? And my head was spinning because I'm going, and they're talking, and I'm going, I don't know who this person is, and I know I didn't watch that, and should I be watching, and I was like that. So what I did for myself was sort of have a spiritual spaghetti strainer. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but when you walk in and there's a lot of people there, you take everything that they've got, you throw it in this spaghetti strainer, and you listen to what people have to say, and you okay, that's interesting, but this person said, and it doesn't mean that what at the bottom line of somebody listening to somebody isn't of the Holy Spirit, and there's a little, but there's only one noodle. it's not the whole thing. So basically, what I do at the end of listening in a group or something like that is pick up my spaghetti strainer and see what's left of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't have to listen. I don't have to listen to 27 different Christian television programs, and I don't have to listen to online, and I don't have, it doesn't say that. But I don't want to miss whatever little bit is there. So I just learned to take my strainer and walk away. I know that's a weird analogy.
It works.
It works.
I get it.
Because there's so many things. I'm sorry, the parables are still okay.
So, you know, I mean, it's almost like, so if a chicken crosses the road, which, that's how I feel like I'm reading these, and I'm going, but they don't make sense to me. And yet some are so clear, because when you let God minister to you, whether it's one-on-one or talking to somebody else, but just, you know, he's going to get us to a point that we're, I think we're all going to be just in harmony of being in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just going to flow. I mean, it's not going to be like, it's almost going to sense that you're going to finish somebody's sentence. Because we're going to be so in tune to the Spirit and to the Lord that we're going to be like, yes. And I think, you know, at that point, we are going to see the gifts flow. We're going to see the healings. We're going to see the miracles. We're going to, and you know, the thing is, if we never see them, we know they're there. Because God works how God works. And it doesn't make that. We have to see this or it doesn't count. You pray for somebody and you don't hear anything. And, you know, all of a sudden you find out, oh, yeah, they're healed. And you're going, well, praise the Lord. It wasn't you. Because how many times has that person prayed for? It's a wonderful thing. God doesn't just have, you know, he flows, and we need to all take advantage of his flowing.
Amen.
And let it just, and try to be as Christ-like as we can be, because it's hard.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the fourth chapter, 1 John, John says, beloved, don't believe every spirit. And there are a lot of people that do kind of believe whatever they hear. And after a while, you get to, you doubt a lot of it, you know. It says, "For try the spirits to see whether they're from God." And it says, "For many false prophets have gone out into the world." So there are a lot of people that are prophesying and they're not so, you know.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt to be doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt to question them.
No, that's right. No, it is not an act of unbelief to have your doubts whether this prophecy is a prophecy. And a lot of Christians make that mistake. They hear, thus saith the Lord, and they say, you know, they treat it as being gospel truth. You're demonstrating your faith by saying, oh, if they said, thus saith the Lord, then it's, you know, hearing from God.
I think I'd rather judge it as questionable other than God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then let God bring me to that point.
Yeah.
Where if it is truth, he'll show me.
Yeah.
But I'd rather judge it as not to begin with.
Right.
He shows me.
Unless he tells me.
Yeah.
Or shows me. I mean, it's sort of like if you say something, well, can you tell me where it is? Because if I can read it in the Word of God, then it's not your Word. It's the Word of God. And that's hard because so many of us are led by
our flesh.
Yeah. Yes. You know, thus say the Lord. You know, the Lord says we should all
eat. Somebody else do that to me if I say something. You know, show me if I'm wrong, please.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that's the heart we need to have. We want a heart for the truth.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's the way to.
Yeah, I'm going to read that setting in 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Now that is going to take some discernment.
Sure will.
To figure out who those are, you know.
Right.
And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wicked, wicked, wicked.
That ain't just some guy out there babbling some old crazy thing. Mm-hmm. That's somebody making a pretty good representation of supposed truth. Mm-hmm. And what most of us until just recently don't realize is there's a whole bunch of them in a whole lot of churches. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read something out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start with verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Oh, that was my reaction exactly.
Yeah.
Boy, it's been too long since I've heard that scripture.
So, you can get knocked down by the hook, but you're going to survive if you're of that.
Yeah.
If you're of God, He's not going to let you. You know, it says you'll get persecuted, but you won't.
Persecuted but not forsaken,
not
cast
forsaken.
Down but not destroyed.
Not destroyed.
Right.
So, takes a beating and keeps on taking.
So much for blessing back Christianity, though, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. It says in Thessalonians, it says, because they received not a love for the truth. And the thing that that we have to develop is a love for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to be wrong, but it's another thing to accept the truth when it comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
AKA the Jews.
Yeah.
Who is that? Is that the Messiah? No.
Nope.
Right.
You know, when they were in the desert and they got tired of eating manna, and they say, we want meat to eat. You know, not just manna. We want meat. Well, the Lord gave them meat. He sent a flock of quail, and they had a whole bunch of meat. And I think in that same way, if we make our top priority prosperity, the Lord will give us prosperity. You know? He'll send meat. But it won't be as good as the manna would have been. You know? So, you know, I think people seem to get prosperous when they seek prosperity through the Lord. But it's the manna is better. Manna is better than quail. Manna is better than quail.
Well, there was everything in it that they needed.
Yeah.
It was a holy cereal.
Yeah.
Well, it was sent from heaven above.
Right.
It had to be perfect.
I often took the takeaway message there is tread really carefully when you think you need something that the Lord doesn't think
yeah.
you need.
Right.
I mean, you could look at that setting or we need a king. There are countless times when people thought they knew better than God what they needed or what to do and were proven to be wrong in each case.
Right.
And to keep yourself in perspective and humble, ask yourself, well, could you eat oatmeal for the next 10 years only? I mean, we think, oh, yeah, they didn't want them. Yeah, well, stop and think about it. Would you eat this exact same thing for 40 years? I could eat the same effect I have. I've eaten the same kind of sandwich when I was working on the road there, probably for 3-4 years. But, you know, eventually, finally you go, maybe I should try something else.
But it's over the easiest and fastest in my whatever.
You can get used to a certain taste that you just like. You can eat it for a long time, but
I think the manna, though, was, you know, as they ate it, they blessed it and thanked the Lord for it. And who knows if it didn't taste different every day. You know what I mean? It's like, it could have been real flavorful to those who were really in the spirit with the Lord.
Right.
And it could have been to those going, we want these. It just tasted like
they
weren't. That could be.
They weren't thankful for what they had.
Yeah.
They wanted more.
Yeah, that could be.
And I would think that with the quail, there was more involved in making it edible than just having manna that you could just eat immediately.
Yeah.
You know?
Man's own works has to go into the quail.
And you didn't have to worry about storing it or anything.
No, and then it said they got so much that it was spoiling the quail, because he said, okay.
I somehow picture all these birds just falling from the sky.
I'm sure they were, basically.
Bird flu.
Well, I was thinking, too, that We don't know what manna tasted like or anything like that. You know, it could have been a different flavor one day, a different flavor the other day. It could have been whatever you picked up suited what you wanted for that day too. You know,
I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to taste it though.
Who grows coriander seed? You really should understand. Is that what it was?
Manna?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
I just wish they explained what it was like, coriander seed.
I'll taste test it for us.
There's a place in Hebrews that says that if you've tasted of the Word of God, you know, and I thought, you know, when I first started listening to the Word, it took me a while before I started liking it. Mm-hmm. There's too much conviction in it. Mm-hmm. And after a while, I started to love it. And I'm wondering if it's the same thing with manna. Maybe for a while I thought, oh, yuck. And after a while it tasted pretty good.
Well, you're right, coriander seed is what, I mean, what they're saying here. And when you look it up, because of its name, what is it? We don't exactly know the contents of manna. We do know it was sweet and looked like small white coriander seeds. Some have conjectured it was made from a sweet beetle cocoon that grows on green leaves in the desert plants.
Never mind, I'm not
going to
test it.
We're all start
case tester. The yellow knowledge should hurt some more.
But it's sort of like, who came up with this? Because I don't know anybody that ate
it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not just totally convinced of that one.
Yeah, no. I know. I mean, it's like, I mean, someplace that, you know, people want a reason.
Well, you know, John the Baptist lived in the desert on locusts and honey.
Right.
That's all he ate. Yeah. All right. couldn't tell. I couldn't cook the meal either. But, you know.
As long as it was sweet, and then I could eat.
Bugs? No, thanks.
It's extra protein.
Yeah, well, that would be yum. Can't get past my brain on that one. But it was from heaven, so it must have been delicious.
Is that a good point to stop? We've got some pretty serious prayer requests that we need to address this week.
Okay. Yeah, I think Josh needs some prayer. Are you in pain?